We're talking today with Oklahoma Congressman James Lankford. Congressman, just a couple of days ago, you've made the announcement officially that you've decided after much contemplation that you want to try to be the next senator from the state of Oklahoma, replacing junior Senator Tom Colburn, who's stepping down. Why?
Yeah, that's the hard part about this, is make a decision to do that. About 2.5 months ago, Dr. Colburn made it pretty clear that he was going to resign early. None of us knew exactly when that was. So it gave my family and I time to be able to pray and to be able to think and to be able to process this. We've spent quite a bit of time, actually, in the Christmas time period just talking as family and praying this through. But a big issue for us is, how can we get things done? How can we actually complete things, and how can we actually work on a project and bring it to a solution rather than just talk about it? We spend quite a bit of time in the House talking about things. The Senate is typically the place where things are resolved, but under Harry Reid, nothing has been resolved over there. So I'm hoping for a Republican majority, but either way, hoping to get a chance to walk in and start walking through the solutions to how we fix things. It's really easy to stand up, say, here's the problem. It's much harder to say, here are the 5 steps it's going to take to actually solve that problem. Let's get started on step number one.
How effective have you believe your 3 years now in the House been at, you know, to this point?
I try to bring a lot of conservative solutions to it. I think people throw around the word conservative all the time, but I really believe the majority of Americans are very, very conservative in the way that they think. They're very passionate about their families, for their communities. They want to make their own decisions. They want someone else to make the decisions. Those are conservative principles. So what I've tried to move is, how can we move the ball forward, even though the Senate completely disagrees with that and the president absolutely disagrees with that and thinks that there needs to be more decision-making in Washington, D.C. and less decision-making locally. So what I've tried to do is turn that back and say, how can we make the decision-making? So whether it be transportation, I did a major push in the transportation bill to get more decision-making back, was successful at getting that. I did a major push to try to get rid of duplication in government. I actually created a rule in the House of Representatives. It passed overwhelmingly in the House, so that now we cannot start new programs if they're duplicative. If we already have a program like that, why would we start another one? So first step is getting rid of new government programs that are duplicative. Second step is getting rid of the existing ones. So I've tried to make progress in the areas I could make progress. I don't want to just sit back and complain about things. I want to find a way to be able to actually solve it.
Probably your major committee assignment has been budget. You're walking away, obviously, from a chance to maybe move up the ranks in that particular committee by leaving the House to try to make this run. Is that a good decision for Oklahoma?
First things first for me. I really feel like this is God's call in my life. I have to do this. Same as when I actually went in the House 3 years ago. This was a total life interruption for me. I've been 22 years in full-time ministry, been working with families and teenagers all over the state. So for me to be able to leave that, to go to the House, I had lots of folks that said, gosh, you're doing a good job in ministry. Why would you do that? I had to make the decision. I have to do this. So I spent 3 years in the House trying to focus in on solving these things. I'm still going to finish this year out, but feel like I can make a more significant difference in the Senate. That's where we deal with judges. That's where we deal with the oversight of the cabinet officers. That's where you can actually take on the regulations. A lot of those fights are in the Senate. And if we're going to deal with the regulations that we are all crushed under, whether that be on a local family farm of somebody from the federal government showing up and saying, hey, I want to check your grain operation, or I want to check your kids to make sure if they're 14, they're not working on the next door neighbor's farm, or whatever it may be, whether it's that situation or whether it's big rules on community banks, all those things matter, and they are most affected in the Senate. So I'm going to try to take this attitude into the Senate.
You know, this may be kind of premature, but let's say you win the primary, you win the general election. Where do you want to plug in the Senate?
Yeah, that's probably is premature. My main focus is going to be several things. I can name that. Couldn't tell you as far as a committee and all those things. That I'm focused on first things first on it. It's going to be budget. As it has been. I'm on two main committees. I'm on the budget committee. I'm on the oversight committee. We deal with every area of the federal budget. We deal with oversight and transparency and waste in government. I'm going to continue to focus on those things. That's what I've focused on the last 3 years. We have to get our budget down. Now, we've made progress, and there's been a lot of yelling and kicking and screaming about it, but our deficit has gone from $1.4 trillion to $680 billion in the past 3 years. So what we have done in the budget committee has made progress. We just have a very long way to go. $680 billion is nothing to sneeze at. We've got a long way to go to be able to resolve that. That's going to be identifying programs that shouldn't be there at all. That's going to be identifying programs and entities that should be handled on a state level rather than on a federal level or done locally. That's going to be identifying where's the waste area of government. Government has no problem with a 10% waste. No one else does that. We've got to be able to deal with that and be able to hold them to account.
Regarding the primary, we don't know who your opponents may be. We've got some guys out there thinking right now. It seems like it may be a contest of I'm more conservative than he is. Is that what you're seeing, you know, eventually probably going to happen?
Actually, every Republican primary is a I'm more conservative than you are primary. It doesn't matter whether you are running for a county commissioner or whether you're running for the United States Senate or a governor's office or whatever it may be. Every primary ends up over the same issue. Who is, quote unquote, more conservative? And obviously, every person defines conservative as a true conservative is me. And so everyone is going to be evaluated based on are you like me because I'm a true conservative. At the end of the day, people of Oklahoma know what a conservative is and they know what that looks like. And you've got several things. I look at it first and foremost as conservatism is not based on volume. It's based on ideas. And we have now started to define conservative values as that person was yelling and screaming. Aren't they a true conservative? And I say, no, I don't know. What do they believe? Because volume doesn't determine conservative values. I want to know what are the ideas. The other thing is conservatism has been based around several simple principles. Limited government. It's not no government. It's limited government. There is a role for government, but it's local, and it is limited in its scope. Constitution requires a limitation around our government, but it doesn't require that there's no government. It's also very strong in national defense. That's incredibly important to us as a nation, that we continue to live secure. So those basic principles begin to guide what does that mean. In addition to the one big thing that's really focused on conservative values, that is the family. We really believe the family is the core building block and that our culture and our government fades away as our family fades away. If we can strengthen the culture, we can strengthen it through by strengthening the family.
As you go around asking folks for your vote, Republicans first, if you make it to the general election, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, why should they vote for James Lankford?
Yeah, I'm asking for their vote because if they believe in the set of ideas that I believe in, think I can actually get things done. I think I've spent the last 3 years showing people that I can actually engage. I'm willing to do the work. I'm willing to do the study and really get things done. I'm not one that's going to stand on the sidelines and just yell about the problem and say, gosh, isn't that terrible? I'm going to say, yeah, that's bad. How do we fix that? And if they believe in the solutions that I'm trying to bring about, I would very much like to have their vote. But the key issue at the end of the day is, if we're going to solve the issues we're facing in the Senate, and the Senate is the most contentious battleground right now that we have in our government, if we're going to solve those issues, it's going to solve by someone who walks in with a steadfast core, says, this is who I am, but I'm also willing to get to work to try to convince people on the other side, not just yell at people on the other side that they're wrong, but to actually convince people on the other side and try to move them to a set of ideas that'll work.
One of the issues, as far as you're going to be going back to the House this next week, one of the things that's out there, one of your colleagues, Mr. Lucas, working on foreign policy, are you hearing anything? Do you feel any indications from Mr. Lucas we're going to get this thing done?
Yeah, Chairman Lucas has worked incredibly hard on this. I mean, he is somebody that has worked now for several years to try to move this farm bill to actually to completion. Yes, I do feel like it's moving very well. The last that I heard is they're still trying to wrap up the dairy portion of the conversation to be able to get a final agreement between the House and the Senate negotiators. But we are that close. There's down to one portion left to be able to settle. If they can settle that, it'll come to the floor and it'll come out for a reading to folks within the next couple of weeks. And I would assume it would be out on the floor within the next month and a half.
From your conservative perspective, are you able to accept what Mr. Lucas and his folks have put together, you think?
Yeah, I'm going to look at it very closely. What I like is the direction that Frank has taken this. It's twofold. One is he's taken the perspective of how do we actually protect our food sources and for our clothing and fiber and everything else. I'm a firm believer as a nation, if we can't take care of our own food and our own fuel, we're always going to have problems and we'll always be vulnerable. We have to be able to do those things. So he's coming at with that perspective with more of a backstop. How do we make sure of this rather than writing checks to people? That's a significant change, which is a right change. I've yet to run into one to say, yeah, that's the wrong way to go. I think it's a right way to go. But it's a big shift in how we do farm policy. The second part of that is the nutrition programs. What everybody knows is 80% of this bill really is wrapped around the nutrition programs. The focus that we've had, and I've talked to Frank multiple times about this and multiple others have, and he's on board with, are trying to put some basic principles. In all of our food policy, we want to make sure there are three things. It's actually used for food. So whatever benefit they get, they're actually using it for food. They're actually qualify for it. If you're in the poverty level, you receive this backstop. If you're not in the poverty level, you don't. And then the third thing is if you're single, able-bodied, and have no dependents, you should have to work. We want people to actually engage in work. The only pathway out of poverty is not government assistance. The pathway out of poverty is a job. And so we want to incentivize that any way that we can do that. Now, that's very, very divisive right now. And there are a lot of folks who would say, we don't want to have to encourage people to have to get a job if they're also getting food stamps. I just absolutely disagree. So I'm going to watch for those basic principles. Does this help transition our farm policy to more of an insurance backstop policy? And does it help transition people that are in poverty towards work rather than trapped in the safety net? If those two things are in there, I'd be glad to support it.